Good afternoon. This is the very first inaugural podcast done by Classifications. It is my honor today to be joined by Robert Sasaki, product development manager of the Caribbean for Classifications, also born and raised in Oahu, and prior to that was a group manager for Classic doing group reservations. How are you doing today, Robert?
I am wonderful. Good afternoon and happy Friday. Let's get the ball rolling.
It's my pleasure. I'm very excited for you to be here.
Likewise.
I'm very excited to do this in general. And let's dig into your background a little bit. So you're born and raised in Oahu. How was that like growing up?
It was wonderful. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's the best things that make Hawaii and Oahu specifically wonderful for travel. It makes the same thing wonderful for growing up. So beautiful days every day, you know, beautiful weather year round, beautiful woman, beautiful beaches. It just kind of, life slows down, especially in island life, and you get a different sense of appreciation and you get a different tone of life. So it really, you grow up kind of, I think, appreciating things a little bit more slowly, and it's just, you know, it's it puts a good perspective on life.
And you can, you know what, you can tell in your day-to-day activities that you have this perspective on life that is genuine and it's real, and people around you appreciate that.
Yeah, you got to live life to the fullest, you know. It's we're here every day, we wake up every day, and if you don't, if you're not appreciative of it, you know, then well, kind of sucks. So you got to make the best out of what you can, right?
Now, there's one question I wanted to ask you. I don't know if you remember this, but we watched a YouTube video about these hikers in Oahu doing this hike, and they were climbing to the top. It seemed like the top of Oahu. Mm-hmm. Do you recall what hike that was? And can you maybe tell the people listening in on that what hike that was?
Yeah, so it goes by two different names. I think most people refer to it in Hawaii as the Haiku Stairs. I think it's also referred to as the Stairways to Heaven. So, you know, it depends on what you prefer. Basically, it's the mountain ridge that runs through the middle of Hawaii. And it kind of separates the southern area of Waikiki, where most tourists really know, you know, and it separates that area versus the more northeastern area, which would be Kailua, you know, and that area over there. So it is a mountain range that runs right through the middle. The hike is illegal. So it's not something that we actually, you know, it's not going out and saying, oh, we should all do the hiking stairs. No. But, you know, if you go early enough in the morning, there's no one there. So you can kind of make your way up and, you know, it'll take you about 6 hours, 8 hours, top or bottom to top to bottom. But it's one of the most remarkable views you'll probably ever get in your life. I mean, you're literally standing on the peak or on the apex of a ridge that runs right down the middle of Hawaii, and you can actually see both sides of the island. So you get a picturesque view of Waikiki, you can see Diamond Head from that area, and then you look out to the other side and you get a great view of Kailua, Kaneohe. And so
but it is illegal, so we're not actively promoting it. But why is it illegal?
I believe it's for safety reasons. Most people that hike up there, you know, so let me put it this way. There are railings where you can kind of go up, and there are steps in certain areas to kind of help you get up there. I wouldn't necessarily say that those steps are really foundationally secure, nor are the railings. And you know, most people go up really early in the mornings because there's a guard shack that kind of just watches the entrance area. So people go out usually about 4 o'clock, 3:30. You get out there early, and then on the way down, he's in his guard shack, but you're already coming down. He sees you, he chases you around, and then you kind of head out.
So that's like an insider tip, insider knowledge.
I don't know if it'd be an insider tip. I mean, you know, it's a
we're not actively promoting.
No, but if you're looking for where it is, you'd be driving up the Pali Highway. Once you go up the Pali Highway, anyways, we'll leave those directions out of here. But YouTube, so Haiku Stairs, Stairways to Heaven.
Google.
Internet in general. Right. And there's more than enough directions on where to park, how to dress, how long it's going to take, where to get up that hike. So if you really want to go for it, you can make it happen. But we're not going to go into those specifics here on this cast.
So But the reason why I brought you on, and the reason I was really excited, not only because you're a cool guy, but I really want to ask you, the Caribbean had a tough year last year. Hurricane Irma was devastating. I had family members in Florida, and it was filled with anxiety until it passed. And I wanted to get your perspective on the recovery efforts, where people should travel in 2018, and maybe start off with Anguilla in general. Like, is that the key island, or do you think, what would you see since you're so in tune?
So, yeah, last year, you know, it was a rough year. It was a rough September for the entire Caribbean. It wasn't just Irma, it was Maria as well. It was kind of a big 1-2 punch. I mean, largest hurricane to hit the Caribbean in decades. And it was back-to-back for that matter. So, you know, the islands were just completely devastated. It was tough for the communities, the families, you know, beyond just the hotels and the tourism industry. We look at those islands as great destinations to travel to, but we need to remember that, you know, communities, families, and individuals are really what make up the backbone of that island. And it's their hospitality, it's their personalities that kind of bring tourism to the area when we engage with them at the hotels, when we see them there and we see those bright smiling faces. I mean, that's what really makes the Caribbean unique, is that there's this personality of just a warm, friendly, charming group of people that are just incredible.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The communities are so tied into tourism and tourism into the communities. Like, when one falls, like, the other one is drastically impacted. And a lot of people can get down on themselves and melancholy about that. But the Caribbean seems to have like this strong interlaced personality aspect where they take it with a grain of salt. They know what it is, and they know it will pass, and they know it'll get better. And it seems to be getting better. Like,
absolutely. Absolutely. And you hit the nail on the head right there. You know, the communities are the backbone of all the properties we sell in the Caribbean. And I hate to say it, because, you know, we say cliche things all the time, like what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. In the event of what happened in the Caribbean last year, that is absolutely the case. I mean, we saw people, human people, coming together and making these connections. And, you know, sometimes when there's enormous strain put on a group of people, on a community, that's when you really see the best of people kind of emerge and come to light. I mean, we've seen that here in the States with Las Vegas, for example, the recent shooting in Las Vegas, which is a tragedy. But there's certain things that really bring us together as people and bring the best out of us. And usually it's, unfortunately, it's some type of pressure strain. So in the case of the hurricanes last year, for example, when the hurricanes went through Turks and Caicos last year, Nikhil Advani and Scott Kyle of Grace Bay Club, they actually housed a lot of their employees, and not just their employees, but other members of the community that had lost homes. They relocated. That was a similar story that we saw all throughout the Caribbean. Antigua, for example. Antigua luckily was spared too much damage, or basically they were unscathed from the hurricanes. But their nearby neighbor, I'm losing it. Barbuda took the brunt force last year, and Barbuda was absolutely devastated. And Antigua welcomed with open arms the entire community of Barbuda, many of which are still in Antigua today. So we're seeing that type of commitment to each other, commitment to people, and commitment to make things better. So that's been kind of in full force. You know, we've seen the same recovery efforts in Puerto Rico. They're really getting on their feet. Bryce, you mentioned Anguilla, St. Bart's, you know, BVI to a degree, a little bit slower, but they're all getting there, and it's really exciting. It's definitely really exciting.
And I like to give islands, or give destinations in general, the mother-in-law test. Like, if I was comfortable sending my mother-in-law there, then I feel comfortable selling it to anybody. Like, would you say the Caribbean islands in general would pass the mother-in-law test? Anguilla, Turks and Caicos?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I know that if I sent my mother-in-law to...
Now, you like your mother-in-law, right? This
is it. That's it. I'm glad you clarified that, right? I do. I do. If you're listening, I absolutely adore you. And you know, if we were going to send you somewhere, I'm excited.
No problems.
I have no problems. No problems.
And you would want her to come back.
I would go with her. Absolutely. I mean, awesome. Separate rooms, you know, but, I'm really excited about Belmont Cap Jaluka in Anguilla. Because Belmont Cap Jaluka, you know, they had planned for a $50 million renovation. And Cap Jaluka is already everyone's favorite property in Anguilla. Well, so, you know,
if you don't know, Cap Jaluka is beautiful. Just Google image Cap Jaluka. It's unreal.
Right. And if you're looking at room categories, forget it. Don't look at them. They're all beachfront. They're all oceanfront. You can't get any closer to the beach than the rooms and the units you have at Cap Jaluka. So, you know, Cap Jaluka has gone a while without much renovation. Mm-hmm. They were purchased by Belmont last year, and they're they're fully owned and fully managed by Belmont Resorts.
Belmont that also does La Semana and St. Martin.
Correct. So they invested $50 million. Mm-hmm. Now on a sidebar here, that wasn't enough. They've run over, so I think they're approaching $60 million in renovations, which is an incredible sum. I mean, it was already a fantastic property. So you have $60, $65 million going to the property. They were closed for a year and they're coming back. They're going to be open November 17th.
Okay.
We have them open our system for sale December 17th onward. You know, we always
so
give a
Christmas time frame. They're going to be exactly. open and available.
Correct. Correct. Awesome. They're going to be open for Christmas and onward. One of the biggest tips I have for people traveling to the Caribbean is don't ever overlook the time period after Thanksgiving and before Festive.
Yeah.
I
agree with you 100%.
What you get right there is you get yourself to the Caribbean outside of the hurricane season, before the festive rush.
Key before.
Right. So the rates have incredible value. You know, it's really before you get into the wet season. So you're not going to get a lot of rain. Well, Anguilla doesn't
not
get a lot of rain anyways.
Not just the hotel rates, but the airline rates, you get an incredible value.
Everything.
Because once you pass that Thanksgiving season, they drop. And they don't come back until probably December 17th or December 18th, the week before Christmas. So you get a value not only with the hotel, but you get a value with airline rates. So if you're able to vacation during that time, it's a huge value. I also think May is a huge value as well, because you're able to fly before summer break, before the kids are out of school, and you're past the winter break. So there's this window in which you get, you capitalize on not only hotel rates, but you capitalize on airline rates. And it seems like a double value for your money.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think those are two really, really good times to travel. And you know, once you get to Belmont Cap Jaluka, it's located in Mondays Bay. If you haven't seen Mondays Bay, it's as still as a swimming pool, but it has about 100 shades of blue. It's a protected little bay area. The only property there is Belmont Cap Jaluka. It is absolutely incredible. Maybe the only place in the world my mother-in-law could actually swim in the ocean. You know, in Hawaii, you know, she's probably never in the ocean because it's a little rougher there. It's a different type of beach, different type of experience. But
calm waters,
calm, still. I mean, it's
not
it's,
big swells, not no. like here in California where it's 60 degrees.
No,
do you miss the Hawaii waters when you're here in California? Do you go to the ocean at all?
I do. I miss Hawaii. My preferred beach in Oahu is Sandy's on the eastern shore. You know, those are more of the tight barreling shore break. Mm-hmm. Waves that you kind of get into it and then, you know, you tumble right into the sand. So it's really about preference, right? There's different beaches for different tastes.
Yeah.
And everybody's looking for something different. So, you know, there's no right or wrong answer. There's just beautiful everywhere.
Well, Robert, I want to just say thank you very much for your opinions and taking the time out today to spend with me and talk Caribbean, talk vacation, talk shop. And before we leave today, I know you recently were in St. Lucia. Do you have like a scuba diving story maybe you could share with us?
Yes. So
I'm a scuba diver. I love scuba diving. That's like my favorite thing to do.
Wow.
So yeah, I love it. I'll scuba dive in Monterey Bay with water being 55 degrees. And
you are a
feet.
Trooper.
I'm a redhead.
I got to give you that. I was actually in Monterey last weekend and I just saw tons of people in wetsuits about to go and dive. And, you know,
that's
no
great.
Offense, but I'm looking at it and I'm like, I have no desire. I've never even worn a dry suit before. I'm like, I don't know what this is. St. Lucia is a good story. And you know, well, my wife hates it when I bring it up. But what had happened was she bought me a brand new GoPro before I went to St. Lucia. Right. Yeah. Sounds good. So
I have one of those. Have not used it one time. It's in the box right on my shelf.
Well, you should bring it on over. I'll take it for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, the first dive we went on was a night dive, which was great. And, you know, my first time doing a night dive, you see squid, you flash the light on and they change colors and everything was perfect, right? And the next day, you know, she wanted to try something a little bit different. So we kind of asked around the dive master at Body Holiday and his recommendation was something called a Superman dive. And it's called the Superman dive. Because the current that pulls you is just absolutely incredible. And once you're in that, it's almost like I imagine like Finding Nemo when you're in that jet stream, right?
With the turtle.
With the turtle, right? Yeah. And you're kind of in that jet stream and you're just chilling. You're going down the jet stream, nothing to do. So the Superman dive is located basically right offshore of Sugar Beach, the Viceroy property. And they take you out on a boat.
Beautiful property, beautiful beach.
Yeah, shout out to Viceroy. They take you on a boat. You get off the boat, basically on the inside cove of the base of one of the pitons. Mm-hmm. And you dive in, you lower yourself, and then you kind of swim into this little, you swim towards the piton, and then you kind of, you know, as soon as you swim in there, you just start moving. You start moving. You're moving quickly. And, you know, I was just vertical, basically hands behind my back, just kind of, it takes you literally around the piton and you don't need to do anything. You don't swim, you don't move. That's
such a cool experience.
You just kind of go. It's almost like a ride, you know, and it was surreal. It was kind of weird for me because I'm a control freak. So if I see something, it's like, I want to swim after it. And I couldn't.
Because you're fighting against the current and you're fighting against. Like when we're in Cozumel, we had a couple of those dives as well, which the strong current, you're going one way. And then we saw an eagle ray, which is unreal to see in the wild. Like it was flying, but it was flying the opposite way of the current. So I wanted to follow it, but I would have to be, you know,
Michael Phelps.
Exactly. To even catch this thing. So it was a losing battle, but it's such a fun dive because there's zero effort that you have to put into it. You just
zero effort. And kind of like what you were doing, I think what I had seen was there was a lionfish. And unfortunately, there's lionfish everywhere in the Caribbean. They have no natural prey and they're kind of a foreign invasive species that have just settled there. But I wanted to get a really good look because this particular lionfish was like the size of, I don't know, a basketball. It was huge. So I'm going. And I'm trying to get it with my GoPro. Then something else gets my attention. I look to the side. I let go of my GoPro. It starts slipping off my hand. And it falls down, 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 down. And I'm still in that tunnel. And I'm moving away from it. My wife looks at me like she's about to kill me. And then she looks at the GoPro. And then she starts busting out in this. I mean, she starts going after it and I'm drifting further and further away from her. I'm looking at her and she's not really moving, but it's almost like a treadmill, right? She's swimming in place and the GoPro keeps going further and further and further. And the dive master just looks back. She can't come back to get us because, you know, she can't fight the current and she's just shaking her head there. And it was a tough rest of the trip after I lost the $500 camera my wife bought me, but it was an incredible experience.
And now you get to tell the story.
And I get to tell a story.
That's a $500 story you just shared with us.
That's a $500 story, yeah. And that's not even, you know, and that's not even the best dive. People are so excited about Anse Cochon and also the reef in front of Teekay Resort. Another shout out to Teekay and Nick Pinnock, the owner there. If you're looking to dive and great value, Teekay Resort and Spa in St. Lucia, they have a paddy dive site. You walk right down and there's a natural wildlife preserve. Incredible. I haven't seen it. But it is one of the most in-demand dive spots in St. Lucia. So yeah, if you're in the area,
eastern coast of St. Lucia, that's the exactly spot, right. Even the hotels in the north, say Sandals or so, they take the guests to the southeastern coast.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Is that right?
I think so.
Well, Robert, it's been my honor to have you on the inaugural Classic Vacations podcast. And let's do this again, buddy.
Let's do it again. Awesome. Absolutely.
Hey, man, thank you very much. Thank you for all thank you everybody for listening. This is Bryce Sahlstrom with Robert Sasaki, and
happy Friday.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.